Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
Time now for The Take
with Ethan Moore.
I faced four of them, like, last month.
Did you?
Oh, it was so filling and delicious.
The Take
with Ethan Moore.
I'm an Adidas guy, for sure.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
Texas says I like to show off my pecs, too, but for some reason people call them man on me.
Can you say that on air?
I don't know.
You can say boobs. Boobs.
Okay, I'll dump that.
Drop that.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
How soon does school start? So we don't have to listen to these mouth-breathing hacks. Welcome back into the final hour of The Take right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Ethan Moore, Dave Skull, the process behind the glass. Happy birthday once again to Mr. Sweeney.
Happy birthday, Andy.
I love you.
Look at that. Look at the positivity flowing.
That was always the awkward thing I would do. Like, everybody would say a bunch of nice things, and I would respond in whatever weird way I could possibly do it. So at, like, a concert, people would just be like, you know, I love you, you're great. I'd be like, I have mixed feelings.
I'm not shocked.
I could take
least.
Or leave you. process.
I believe that. I believe that. I do like this.
Everybody's favorite fake curmudgeon.
I tend to agree. Yeah. I like a lot of things, Dave.
Yeah, you're much more pleasant than you pretend to be on the radio.
Yeah, he is. He's a nice guy. Yeah. Oh, he has that tough guy persona, but he's a nice guy.
Because he lived in Philly for like 4 years or something.
Oh, hey.
Oh,
I like this.
No, it was eight, right? It was 8 years, right?
Nine.
No, okay. Nine.
Close enough.
Semantics, bro.
Yeah.
But I do like this text, and if the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
No, you got it.
Oh, 267-9680. Yeah. I'm surprised that I didn't give the
93. Right, because you're on there all the time. 267-9680 is the phone number.
That's right.
437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line.
Ethan Moore sounds like Kermit the Frog right after going through puberty. I like that, actually. And I think I sound like that, too. I hate the way my voice sounds
Who
on podcast.
Who likes the way their voice sounds?
Yeah, nobody
on radio.
Likes the way their voice sounds.
I've been doing radio for years now. I still don't like it. I don't like it.
I'm more used to it, but I don't love it.
I don't like it. Like, it doesn't shock me anymore.
Right.
Like, I sound like that. It doesn't shock me anymore, but I don't like it.
Just like being on air isn't like, you know, this big thing anymore. It's not like this really cool thing. It's like, oh, I'm on air. Okay, that's the thing.
Well, everybody else who tell, like, look, if you're at home saying I hate the sound of your voice on the radio, I agree. I agree with you.
Indeed. Yeah.
And everybody thinks I'm like a 40-year-old man with my voice, apparently.
Yeah, you do.
People go, what the process looks like that? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Produce.
It's kind of like the first time anybody ever sees a picture of Jack.
Yeah, they're like...
Like, that's Jack?
You're like,
yeah, he's not
whoa,
small.
Wait, he's like 6'3". What
the
hell?
He's tall. He's a big guy.
Yeah. He looks like... Oh, wait, you guys are too old for Jimmy Neutron. He looks like Carl.
No, I know who Jimmy Neutron is.
Can I tell you, like, if I said he looks like Carl from Jimmy Neutron, would you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Would you know who I'm talking about? Let me pull up a picture.
And I never watched one episode of Jimmy Neutron, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a little after my time, but... But I still know who he's talking about.
I know the Jimmy Neutron. I don't anybody.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
I can recognize that guy before. Check out this I'm very impressed with this text, Biscuit. Didn't the Pitt-Syracuse news break at halftime of the 2011 UofL-UK football game? Yes, it did. I remember. It was in Lexington. It was a road game.
Hey, man, you associate moments in your life. You know what I mean? That was a shocking and low moment for a lot of UofL fans.
Oh, my gosh. And you're just like, what's going to happen now?
That was the moment when we all went scrambling to Villanova. Actually, we had already been down that road before.
Like, great counter move, Big East.
That's right. What's your counter move? Like, Pitt and Syracuse go to the ACC. We're like, get Nova and Massachusetts on the horn right now.
If they say no, we're going to Cornell.
We got to shore up this Northeast market.
Yeah.
We can't put walls up around of New England. Noted college football crazed population of New England. Let's do it. Get Massachusetts.
Yeah. I heard we
or
have
the Mid-Atlantic
interest.
Is even the same.
Like, well, let's be real here. Villanova has fewer football fans than even Rutgers. Everybody that's a football fan in Philadelphia for college is Penn State. That's right.
So let's shore up the Mid-Atlantic with Villanova, because we lost Rutgers. No.
We're going to get the New Hampshire Wildcats.
We lose Rutgers, Pitt, and ACC, so let's or in Syracuse. So let's go after Villanova. And then let's get New England.
Maybe DePaul. Maybe DePaul would have a football team since they're in the Big East then.
We were poverty conference.
Gosh, that was terrible.
Look, we knew it. We wanted out. We just didn't see a route out at that point. Nobody knew that Maryland was going to leave the ACC at that point. It was unfathomable at that point.
Yeah.
And when it actually was announced, it was amazing. Yeah.
Can you imagine if the Metro had stayed together and then built football.
Florida State,
Cincinnati, or South Carolina.
I know. Or in 1983, I think it was 83 when Penn State reached out to the Big East about football membership and they said no.
Great move. I mean, talking about football, I mean, come on.
I mean, that could have shored up the Big East for years. Like,
absolutely.
Miami doesn't look to leave. Florida State doesn't look to leave. You know, like, maybe if Penn State's there, they become a premier football conference. They weren't that far away from it in the early...
Not at all.
Early 90s.
Texter also says, how much does the SEC's new TV deal with ESPN factor into this? That does not. Again, this is why this is happening so fast.
Sam misspoke again, and I didn't ask him to drop it.
See, well, I mean, I don't even know if
I misspoke with Florida State,
now.
And he didn't even want to,
Yeah, it's fine.
He didn't even. I meant Virginia Tech, not Florida State, and he didn't even want. Look at him. He didn't even. Forget
somebody
it.
Was talking trash. I'm sorry. I had to respond.
All right. Yeah, he had to defend.
Anyway,
so to the Texter's point about the SEC's new TV deal, that starts in 2024. There would have to rip that up and then renegotiate. Mm-hmm. That's why this is moving so fast.
Contracts. If you add schools, you go back to the drawing board. And if you add Texas and Oklahoma, those are literally the only two schools, like outside of, like I would say, the only two schools that are available in any way that would add value to your conference to would add value to the SEC and not just split the pie more.
Yeah. So let's go back to this. It's almost, I think, this realignment stuff is almost in tiers of like a draft. Mm. So SEC wins out because they would get Texas and Oklahoma.
They get the clear number one and number two teams in the Big 12.
And then the Big 10 is next in the pecking order because right now they're bringing in more money per school and overall than anybody, including the SEC, prior to this potential move of Texas and Oklahoma. Who are they grabbing besides Kansas? Because I think that would be a great fit.
And here's the thing, like, it's interesting. It's an interesting conversation because as this Jim Phillips said a few weeks ago, football eats first. That is the reality for all conferences, not just the ACC. Kansas brings absolutely nothing to the table when it comes to football. Nothing. No. Absolutely nothing.
Trash.
They are a bottom tier program, but the Big Ten might be the one conference that can afford. Well, I mean, SEC could too, but can afford to bring in a school that doesn't really add football value. But I don't know. Like, Kansas has less people than Kentucky as a state. They don't bring I don't feel like they bring any eyeballs. They bring eyeballs to the basketball, but basketball doesn't drive the revenue machine in college sports. Like, it would be an amazing addition for basketball. It brings absolutely nothing to the table in football. I don't know if they would be interested in bringing in a Kansas. I don't think, like, Iowa State makes sense geographically, but they already have the state of Iowa. It's not a big name program.
Yeah.
I don't know if nothing inside the geographical footprint makes sense for the Big 12, or I'm sorry, the Big 10. And they're also snooty academically. I mean, the Big Ten and the Pac-10 both, even though the Pac-10 has compromised a little bit over the years.
Arizona and Arizona State
Arizona
are in there.
I was getting there. Arizona and they compromised themselves over these. Like, I love Process because he jumps into the middle of sentences literally. When I'm getting to that point, he's like, Arizona.
I just wanted to make jokes. That was more about giving a take.
I know.
It's like a big brother, little brother. Like,
I know. They compromised over the years with, as he said, Arizona State and to a degree Utah. They're not nearly as high profile as the other schools academically. So they might bend a little more, but I don't know if they're really interested in bringing in like a Texas Tech and a Baylor. You know, in the Big Ten, the only schools left over in the Big 12 that really bring consistent football name brand status might be Oklahoma State, West Virginia, TCU. Do any of those schools scream out Big 10 to you?
No, but they scream ACC to me.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying, though. I don't know if the Big 10's interested in these schools. I don't know.
Well, that's a good take to have as well.
So maybe they're interested in the ACC. I don't know. Maybe they're interested in looking at ACC schools.
Well, I know. You mean Notre Dame would be the historic, perfect fit, air quotes, for that. But a texter said back before we took our last break, Cincinnati football and ACC only, other sports back to the Big East.
Yeah. It could work. Fit. The UConn moved back to the Big East and everything but football. That's the type of conference they need, is a conference that doesn't really offer football or offers football at a division, you know, at an FCS level. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they need, is that type of league. Big East makes sense. They have a prior relationship with them.
I just don't see the ACC doing that. I just, you know.
I mean, maybe not. I'm interested because I don't see teams in the existing Big 12 that the Big 10 would be falling all over themselves to split the pie with. I just don't.
Yeah.
There might be a couple of schools in the ACC that fit their geographical footprint, which is secondary, we all know,
mm-hmm.
but fit their geographical footprint, fit their academic footprint or profile, that they might be interested in poaching. That is possibly the next step.
Yeah.
I mean, the ACC may not be bulletproof in this. Like, obviously, the SEC is not going to come after any of their schools. I think that the big-time Southeast schools, Clemson, you know, Florida State, Virginia Tech, those type of schools, UNC.
And they're locked in through 2036. There's right. no our, way they our could Grant afford
rights
the buyout.
Is, yeah, our Grant of Rights is through 2036, which is a problem, a stumbling block for anybody,
mm-hmm.
Even Big Ten money from bringing in, you know, one of the schools, but I'll be interested to see what their next step is, because the Big Ten could stand pat at 14 schools. They may not want to go to 16.
That's a good, and I never even thought of it like that to
yeah.
see.
Because honestly, I just don't know if there's any natural fits in the Big 12 that are football name brands that fit their academic profile that they would want to bring in.
I think the Big Ten could be intrigued by adding a Texas school, because you're in a state now. You would be in a new state.
But you're adding Baylor, TCU, or Texas Tech. I mean, throw Texas Tech out, it wouldn't be them. Is that, like, think of, like, what do you think?
I think it's enough for them to take a look. I mean, it's not a slam dunk like an Oklahoma or a you know, or a Texas, potentially Oklahoma State. I don't know. But this is all in these hypotheticals. I don't know. I just see the other conferences, Biscuit. If the SEC goes to 16, I mean, the other Power Four conferences aren't going to necessarily add schools just to add them.
That's what I'm saying,
feel like if there's other free agent power schools out there that, you know, I certainly think that the ACC, if I'm ACC, and this is where I'm going to go, again, we've said it numerous times today, they're going to have to add schools if they want to renegotiate their TV deal. And they are last in the Power 5 right now per team payouts. With the elimination of the Big 12, there's more money to be had by the other leagues, including the ACC. If I'm Commissioner Phillips, I make my strategy to secure West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and TCU. With Oklahoma State, you get a part of the OKC market.
So you're trying to go to 17 teams?
I'm trying to go to 17 teams.
What does that do? Like, what do you think?
It just because it allows you, you're out in Oklahoma, you're in Texas. Those are more eyeballs. You get new followers if you're renegotiating your TV deal. Listen, we go from Syracuse to Dallas-Fort Worth. Dallas-Fort Worth over to Stillwater. We have half of the country right now. One of the ACC selling points when they created the ACC network, we have more eyeballs, fans, television sets than any other conference based on our metro markets. You add Dallas, and again, I know it's the eyeballs and the television markets isn't that, that's not the hit phrase anymore. It's more so of followers, sports fans that would subscribe to ACC, SEC, Big Ten networks, etc. If you add those three programs, West Virginia's solid in everything, or the power sports, basketball and football. TCU is a name brand in football, spotty in basketball. Oklahoma State, solid in football, solid in basketball. Again, no slam dunks here, but you bring in those three schools, you have to renegotiate your television deal. There's more money to be had because the Big 12 is evaporating. Notre Dame's not joining. So you have, you know, and then you have a Notre Dame versus TCU. You have that in football. When you have Notre Dame playing their five-game schedule in football, that would be an attractive intercontinental matchup. I don't even know. Intergalactical.
The Intercontinental Belt.
There you go.
TCU for the TCU West Virginia for the Intercontinental Belt.
Lightweight division. No, I think, though, if you add that many schools and you have that much of a footprint of this entire country, it's going to command more money because it's commanding more eyeballs, more television sets.
Like, I totally get all of your reasoning, and this might be, I think there's a few detractions. One, I think that when it becomes that diverse, that geographically diverse, it becomes a little unwieldy, and that many teams, you know, 17 teams. And then you bring up the old, you know, is Syracuse flying to Fort Worth, mm-hmm. you know, for a volleyball game? Is that happening? You know, is it in the best interest of all of our student athletes? I realize that it all takes a backseat to revenue, but these are important questions. The interests of each school are so diverse, you know, when you start bringing in these old Big 12 schools.
Oh, yeah.
The profile of your university becomes less and less standard, which is fine because they had to stretch their, you know, stretch their traditional ACC mm-hmm. profile to let us in. I just feel like, and maybe it's irrational, but when I see like a big space and an island of schools, it just feels unsteady to me. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, like just a... like it's on shaky ground. Like, oh yeah. No, we've had to reach across the country to stabilize our conference. Like, obviously, the ideal will never happen. Like West Virginia and
Notre Dame
just joins for all sports. It'll never happen. Notre Dame's made that clear. The new college football playoff rules the model that is currently proposed does not force them into a conference. They're comfortable with not getting a top four seed ever. They're fine. They're fine with it. Therefore, I mean, that the idea that someday the playoffs would force them into a conference just isn't true.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. It, in fact, quite the opposite. West Virginia, obviously, I feel like they raise the conference's football profile, which is only two things. like either they give you real eyeballs with their following. Only two things are really appealing right now. They give you real eyeballs with their following, so you can renegotiate your TV contracts, or they raise your football profile, mm-hmm. so you can renegotiate your TV contracts and get more money. I think that West Virginia accomplishes one of those goals. There's half the population, less than half the population of Kentucky in the state of West Virginia. They don't have a massive national following, nothing like that. But they are a well-known, high-profile football school, a top 25 program historically, mm-hmm. for the most part. And definitely somebody that, you know, you tune into the backyard brawl, you know, West Virginia Pitt. You want to see West Virginia, Virginia Tech. West Virginia, Florida State, West Virginia, Louisville. We would love to have that rivalry back. Those games sound more entertaining, more enticing than Wake Forest, Florida State.
Absolutely.
You know, Boston College, Florida State.
So you bring up a good point there. With West Virginia, if you're the ACC network, then you have a bonanza of new business because these Mountaineer fans, and again, probably a lot of households in West Virginia already have access to the ACC network based on their sports packages. But now
like you said, sports packages, regional with Pitt and Virginia Tech, everything in the area.
So, but still, you add that region, and now that's going to be more fans that will buy into that. If you grab TCU, it's the same thing there. I guarantee you, a lot of Dallas probably doesn't have ACC network on, you know, their sports packages. But if they were to join the ACC, that now becomes a realistic possibility. Texter said, why wouldn't the Big Ten go after Clemson? We talked about that earlier. Everybody in the ACC is locked into their grant rights until 2036. If Clemson was approached by the Big Ten or the SEC or whatever, they would owe the conference right now, if their average payout per team is like $33 million, then they would average $33 million to the ACC for the next 15 years. So they're not. That's not happening. They're not going to pay $400-something million to go to the Big Ten or the SEC 15 years before this grant of rights is up. So for that, the ACC is stable.
And I think Clemson's happy where they are.
Absolutely.
I mean, they rule the roost. You know, without it being they get the benefit of being in a power conference without having a real challenger in the last 10 years. I mean, they have different challengers every year, but they don't have a consistent, you know, second to the throne. It's a rotating cast,
mm-hmm.
especially since Florida State and Virginia Tech have been down and Miami have been down. All of the teams that were expected to be the perennial powers in the new ACC have been disappointments except for Clemson.
Yeah. You're right. Would the South be too windy for Bill Self's toupee?
You can wear a hat. He'll be all right.
I mean, he's indoors.
They got tornadoes in Kansas.
Yeah, there you go. Will horns down be a penalty in the SEC? I sure hope if they don't add that rule if they join the SEC. Yeah, I think that's the least of their worries.
Our friend Jason Ince has texted in about Iowa State.
Who is here, by the way.
Makes great sense, which I don't see Iowa State bringing anything to the table for the Big Ten.
Yeah, Ames, Iowa's.
I mean, they've had
be...
periods of good basketball success. They're decent in football right now, but they have the market already. They have the bigger state school with more eyes, with the University of Iowa, and more, frankly, more tradition.
And way more prestige, it feels like.
That's what I'm saying. More tradition, more prestige.
I'm agreeing with you.
Right. I don't think Iowa State brings anything. Yes, I know you were.
We're off today, Biscuit. We're not at the same wavelength today.
Frost, I love you.
I love you too, Biscuit, okay? But we're not on the same wavelength.
You know
today.
Why? It's because you watched a Cary Grant movie with your friends instead of coming out and being the 10th man for us after Nikki left and we took automatic outs.
It's a quality film.
I'm sure it is.
7.5 out of 10.
There you go.
Would watch again.
Notorious, is that what it was?
Yeah, I'm a big cinephile, low-key.
Look, I am too. Yeah. Like, I'm not mad at you for watching the movie. I'm mad at everybody else for not... I should have texted you. I didn't realize you weren't on the group chat.
Yeah, no, I'm not on that.
I'm upset. Anyway, and then he said something about Kansas State, brings in the Kansas City market, but like they have Missouri already, you know, which is
most of the
Kansas City market, and I feel like it probably reaches across.
We're running into the same argument as like,
I think it's
there's only two slam dunks, and they're going to the SEC.
That's what I'm saying. Like there's no... I don't know enough about Kansas State's academic profile, but...
You don't?
They have, like I said, Kansas has less people than Kentucky. You know, and it's just... K-State's the smaller the school, the state schools, they had a football heyday, but ever since Bill Snyder, you know, retired the first time, it hasn't really been much of a football mecca.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it was more of a coach than a program. I don't think Kansas State brings enough to split the pie another way. Like, I just don't. I don't see it.
All right, if we're just doing academics, they have a 95% acceptance rate and a 63% graduation rate. So academic prestige, I would say no.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't think it was very good, but I didn't want to speak out of school like I knew anything about Kansas State's academic
profile.
Right,
no, the only dumb school I know is Arizona and Arizona State, right, and that's about it. Pac-10. Look, Gronk got to go there. I'm just saying. You think that guy knows anything? Of course he doesn't.
They're amazing party schools, though.
Oh, yeah, no, he knows partying, and which I guess would include beer bongs and football.
Smash!
Exactly. Football and partying.
Just getting in the car, how did Jack do with the hot dog eating contest?
I really hope that guy's trolling, because just to reset it for everybody, Jack was an incredible disappointment. So was Nikki, but to a slightly lesser extent. Jack got beat by,
everyone.
Everybody. Haley Minogue beat him.
So he finished dead last.
Yeah, it was like half his size. He got embarrassed by everybody. Nikki and Jack combined for less hot dogs than the winner ate on his own. The winner ate 11, and Jack ate 4. Nikki ate 6. So essentially, Nick and Jack both had a casual dinner in front of thousands of fans that were watching them.
Adoring fans.
Adoring fans.
Who were no longer adoring them by the end.
Yeah, but I'm sure they slathered them all with mustard because they had enough time with as slow as they were eating
so
them.
So let me ask you this. I want to rope it back into sports then, because I'm trying to find a good, you know, equivalent.
Jack's a disappointment.
What is like an equivalent disappointment to Jack and Nick's performance? What is a disappointing thing you would say equate this to?
Like in sports or
like
whatever?
In sports.
This is now what I was
Big
say
Brown
was,
being favored to win the Triple Crown.
That's fair.
And not.
That's
that was
fair.
A pretty good one, because I was going to say something too obscure for the Louisville audience.
Just say it.
I mean, it was Brazil losing to Germany 7-1.
That was
in
hilarious.
The World Cup. That was. Remember the old man holding the little World Cup trophy?
Yeah.
And he was so sad with his mustache.
I was in
give him a
Jersey
hug.
When that happened. I was at my great aunt's house.
That was the semis.
And I was sitting there watching my brother, and I'm like, Germany just keeps scoring.
It was the semis or the quarters. I think it was the semis,
I think
right?
It was the semis.
Yeah, and it was the most hyped matchup of the tournament to that point.
Right.
It was
Brazil was the home team. They
were
going
to
do it.
They were to win the title. And Germany just absolutely curb stomped them 7-1. It was amazing. Big Brown, and I was not, look, nothing against Big Brown the horse. But his ownership group was miserable. They were absolutely miserable. I had one interaction with them when I worked at Corbett's, and I was one of their servers. They were miserable people, and I couldn't be happier that they missed out on the Triple Crown. They sucked.
Dave, let me tell you, there are two horses I've ever given a damn about, okay? Smarty Jones and Big Brown. That's it. Those are the only two horses in the Derby I was ever, like, actually openly rooting heavily for.
Look, the horse, nothing against the horse.
It
obviously,
broke my
it
heart. That day, that horse broke my heart.
I have nothing against the horse. He can't help it that his owner sucked.
Yeah, I know.
But seriously, terrible.
Just
terrible,
like Medina Spirit, except that's the trainer, but still.
Texter says this
owner,
is
not a great story. I don't think
Texter said this is Louisville going to Houston football.
That is a wonderful local tie-in. Fine work, Texter.
14-point favorites the Cards were in that one.
Number 5 in the college football playoff rankings coming in and just absolutely got smoked. Just smoked.
They had like the butt fumble there on the kickoff to start things off. Houston got the ball, I think, on the 1.
And I always forget his. It'll come to me. The left guard that fell down. Nobody touched him. He just fell down. False start. What was his name? Why am I do this every time.
Was that the young man that played center too? That wasn't very good.
Was it Lucas that did it? Was it Lucas McNeil?
Is it Lucas McNeil or
I think it was Lucas.
The guy who was from Lexington and played center.
I know who you're talking about. I love it because these are all storylines that we hammered over and over again. And eventually I was just like, everybody lay off of him. It's the coaching staff's fault for not recruiting over him.
Yeah.
And I'll remember his name too. But Lucas, I think, was the one who fell down without anybody touching him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It'll come to me.
I'll go with that.
Texter will text it in. Help us out if we're getting that wrong.
Nick was talking and the mic was open during commercials and he was saying he threw hot dogs at people. Is that BS or did he really
do that? No, there's video of it. If you go to the Bats Twitter, there's video of it. He's throwing it and apparently the MC's yelling at him, please stop throwing hot dogs into the crowd. And he just keeps doing it and flinging him in there because he wants a cheap pop because he's such a disappointment to all of us.
He's throwing hot dogs in. He said he winged one at a at
oh
like
yeah
an
he winged a weenie right into an old lady
and nailed her in the face.
Oh yeah, no weenie right to the face.
He
I
talked about it. That
her.
Wasn't just during the commercial break. He talked about it. On
oh yeah,
a
no.
Bit. Yeah, that
might have given her a concussion.
Like holy crap, Nikki. He was just like, not only am I never going to get invited back. I'm going to make sure of it so I don't embarrass myself again.
If this station needs a representative next year, and I am still working here, whether or not it's a pink slip where I leave on my own volition, I will represent.
I promise you, if I didn't fear death,
yeah,
death by tubed meat. Okay, if I didn't fear death by tubed meat, I would volunteer for it because I guarantee that right now I could eat 10 hot dogs in 5 minutes, no problem.
I mean, I feel like most of us here.
I think 7 is a very good number for me that you said. I think it's a very accurate and a very reasonable number.
I guarantee you could do that
right.
Just for personal pride.
Right.
To beat these two jokers.
Yeah. Here, this is an interesting Karma 3 alignment take or thought. UK and A&M leave to go to the Big 12 and maybe take Mizzou and Arkansas as well. The SEC would be a mega football conference, and it would benefit UK all the way around. Great hoops rivalry with Kansas, a natural border rivalry with WVU, and both hoops and football, plus the only real powers left in football in the Big 12 would be Oklahoma State and Iowa State. Just a thought, but with OU and Texas joining the SEC, UK falls further back. Realignment probably puts Bama and Auburn in the East, with South Carolina, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, and Vandy.
Let me say that, like, this is why realignment is so fun. It's because you can just throw out all these crazy fantasy, scenarios and thoughts. But let's be 100% perfectly clear. Absolutely nobody is voluntarily leaving the SEC.
Or the Big Ten.
Or the Big Ten. With those paychecks, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Nobody is leaving those stable conferences with those paychecks. I don't care if they go 0-12 in football next year. They won't. Nobody's leaving those conferences.
Yeah.
Vandy is there for life, and they're cool because they win baseball championships every freaking year. Like it's these teams aren't leaving. Like, it doesn't matter if they're a doormat every single season. Nobody's leaving the Big Ten. Nobody's leaving the SEC. Those paychecks are too good.
Texter asks, if you're a hot dog, would you eat yourself?
That's a Harry character.
I love that. That's my favorite of all the Will Ferrell characters. Hi! Yikes, it's in six. Yeah, I love it.
Harry Carey.
Well, that's a pretty good.
I like the ridiculous face he makes to it. I was not alive during the days of Harry Carey, so
What's your favorite planet process? Man's the sun. Like
the sun's
the
not a
planet.
That was his audition for SNL.
Yeah.
I love that you were seriously answering it.
No. That's what they do. That's every time he has the sign.
It's the guest. It's Jeff Goldblum in that one.
Yeah, and he goes,
well
the
sun's
not
a planet. It's the sun. It's like interrupts him. If the moon was made out of spare ribs, would you eat it?
It's a simple question, Doc.
Lols.
Also, whoever said who painted Nick's shirt on him, that's not very nice, but damn it, is that really funny.
What's up with Nick and his tight clothes lately?
I don't know, with the tight pants and the tight shirts. I don't get it, man.
Is he wearing his girlfriend's clothes? next on the take.
Yeah, that's a fair question. I mean, he might be wearing her bra.
Is that your walk-off? I don't know.
That was the meanest thing I could possibly say.
Foul tip a little bit.
Get back
in the box.
Why don't you get back in there, bud? Take another.
I felt like it was mean enough. That was just me, though. Because he's saying he's got, you were talking about in that last one about the man.
Well,
there you go. Now that I explained the joke, it's not funny anymore.
Man's the sun.
I want to go back and watch that.
Can we hit a break?
Yeah, we can.
Let's do that. Before we go to a break, Texter says, death by tubed meat and Andy's voice. I want that on a t-shirt. There we go. All right. Let's take our last break before we wrap things up. You're listening to The Take right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Take
with Ethan Moore.
He went, you know, he almost died last year. I mean, don't you want to let it throw a bone to a guy that almost died?
You ever been in a coma?
Have I ever been in a coma?
Yeah, have you ever been in a coma?
Yeah.
No. What does that have to do with anything?
You could have a little sympathy for a guy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, why? So
it's not Make-A-Wish.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
Why so heartless?
Golly. Make-A-Wish.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not. That's the lie. That's the biggest lie you've ever told.
Fair.
You're sorry. No, you're not sorry. He's not. He's heartless.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
We're going to skate to one song only.
Welcome back into the final segment of The Take on ESPN 680 and 105.7. We're getting weird in here.
I can't wait for tomorrow because we've really been building up in here. The weird energy is getting to new levels.
Indeed. So this time tomorrow we'll be listening to the mixtape.
That's right. And I love that rejoin because it's funny because I caught a stray. I didn't ask for anything or try to leverage my coma in any way, shape, or form. And I got called a Make-A-Wish.
So when I say, like, what does that have to do with anything? That's me in my head going, do I want to say this? And then so that's what that pause is right there.
Yeah. Everybody caught strays. A bunch of kids that didn't deserve it caught strays. You know, just process.
Yeah, it just happens. I have things to say. Look, it's either all funny or none of it's funny, right?
No, it's all. No. It's all allowed. It's everybody's fair game or nobody's fair game. It's not necessarily all funny.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
It's either here nor there.
It's either all okay or none of it's okay.
Let's see. Texter says, I've not heard anyone mention a 20-team football conference. You have four regional pods with five teams. You play those other four teams every year, play one other pod each season, two out-of-conference games, and then the SEC-ACC rivalry games.
I mean,
I take about the pods now. That's what they're talking about with the SEC. If they go to 16, four 14 pods. Mm-hmm. I don't know. All right, so let's do this.
I think it gets a little unwieldy, but like, look, I won't say never.
Yeah.
I don't know where this is going. I have no freaking idea. But I did see Bill Barnwell, I think, had a proposal, if you will, where instead of doing the pods like the SEC network proposed this morning, he said have three permanent rivalries and then rotate the six other games. That way, you know, you don't lose those, you know, Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, to a degree.
Well, you know, they probably wouldn't be disappointed if they didn't play Tennessee.
Right,
anymore.
Georgia, Auburn, you know, like the Egg Bowl, you know, all those games, you don't want to lose them. Tennessee Vandy, whatever. Everyone watches that. But, you know, like, and you would tier it kind of like the ACC or the Big East used to do with the basketball, the three permanent basketball rivalries, I still do, where you try to take one from the top tier, one from the middle tier, one from the bottom tier. Traditionally, obviously, it doesn't always hold that way, but sort of that would be your. And I think the ones that he proposed for Kentucky would have been Missouri, Tennessee, and Florida.
Yeah.
So they'd have, it's three current SEC East members, Missouri, a newer rival, but they would still have the Tennessee and Florida games every single year, which, I mean, I think it's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
Look at large conference scheduling, because I tend to favor that model where I realize it leads to some unbalanced scheduling. You're always going to have unbalanced, though, because year in and year out, teams are – you can't predict how good they're going to be preseason, and if you just do a random schedule based on rotations, I mean, you're going to have unbalanced schedules too. If you have three permanent rivals, you get to preserve, you know, the Iron Bowl every year, the Egg Bowl every year. You know, you get those rivalry games built into your schedule. You don't lose that tradition. You kind of keep a little piece of your history, and the way he had it set up, you still host every single team in the conference like every 4 or 5 years. So you still have some kind of association with everybody. Instead of, I mean, in the ACC right now, the way we have our scheduling set up with the different, I mean, we, what is it, like 6 years between our games with Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
You know,
it should never happen if you're in the same conference.
It should never happen that way. Like, it's
And Virginia Tech
is
the closest campus to U of L's. Virginia Tech.
And how often, like, we didn't play them until like our sixth, seventh year in conference.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so you've kind of really got me thinking about the Big Ten not really making a move for this. You make a lot of good points there. So I want you to morph into Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner. Again, Texas, Oklahoma, they're moving to the SEC. What do you do if you're the ACC commissioner?
I still think, even though they don't necessarily bring a lot of eyeballs because of their regional ties, like, I think West Virginia is a natural fit, number one. It raises the football profile of the conference with another more consistent winner. And then, like, personally, I realize this is probably not everybody's favorite choice, because I think that you're favoring one of the other Big 12 schools, maybe Oklahoma State, as an all-sports member, or TCU, something like that. I still am interested in a Cincinnati football-only membership. I just am. I realize that that's a little more unstable, too. Like, you would rather have teams that are all in. But as it stands right now, I think that that's the best move. But frankly, realistically, they probably won't do that. They'll go for an all-sports member. And if they do go for an all-sports member for that 16th spot, Notre Dame's a no. We already know that. I would favor, of all the other leftovers, probably Oklahoma State. I think they're the most solid all the way around.
So you would say you would go football Cincinnati or football only Cincinnati.
And then, as the texter suggested, they could go back to the Big East and all other sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think would be a good fit.
Are you stopping at 16? No way you go over.
As of right now, yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe somebody gets more aggressive, you know, and maybe that's something that changes, but I don't think right now, as it stands, anybody's going to go over 16 members. But probably wrong.
I wouldn't hate Cincinnati joining the ACC for all sports, to be honest with you. Yeah. But would that
move? And it brings in Ohio. You know, like, it does. Like, as far as that's a legitimate, you know, new market that we don't have a presence in. I mean, Louisville doesn't bring in the Ohio market. Pittsburgh is Western PA, so it might get some of Ohio. But really, we don't have a foothold in some of those population centers. Ohio is a very populated state.
Yeah,
it's one of the 10 most populated states in the country. I think it's 10. I think it's top 10. It might be borderline, but it's got a lot of people there, a lot more than the other options we're talking about. As far as West Virginia is, like, less than 2 million people. Kansas has less than 4. Oklahoma's not that populated, but it gives us a different market altogether. Texas, obviously, is extremely populated. Mm-hmm. Second most populous state in the country and growing. And TCU would give you the Metroplex, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. That's a good argument on their behalf, but I think Cincinnati's inside the footprint kind of fills a gap there,
mm-hmm.
gives Louisville another travel regional partner in football, brings back that rivalry, and some natural rivalries, like they used to play Pitt when they were in the Big East together.
Sure. Notre Dame, Syracuse. Notre Dame. You have a nice little pocket there.
West Virginia, if we bring them in as well. I think that that's the most natural fit, but again, geography is going to take an extreme backseat to markets and all that, mm-hmm. but I think Cincinnati is attractive in that sense as well. Not to mention, with Fickell there, they've been incredibly successful the last several years. So I just that's my preference, but I also favor traditional rivalries and stuff like that, and would love to see those rekindled and all that. So I'm probably biased in a certain way.
That's fine.
I don't think like a conference commissioner, and I still maintain that when I look at a conference map and there's an outlier that's like, you know, 4 states away from the closest conference member.
Atlantic Coast conference member in Texas. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Or Oklahoma. You look at it and go, I don't know how that feels unstable. It feels slapped together, even though in reality maybe it's not. It's like Colorado is a member of the Pac-12, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now they touch Utah, so it's a...
Yeah,
it's,
there you go.
It's different.
But I think I'm glad you brought up the Pac-12 is because I think you're going to see.
Just the tips. They touch the tips.
You'll hear that again Friday at 5:30.
Touch tips with Arizona, too. Like, it's right there.
Yeah.
Utah does.
So what I think you're going to see the ACC and the Pac-12, I think you're going to get into a war of who wants to go where out of a pocket of those leftover Big 12 schools. I think provided OU and Texas move to the SEC, I don't see the other eight schools being super excited to stay in the Big 12. I think that their granted rights is going to kind of evaporate alongside the conference if they're wanting to, if the schools get out a year or two, 3 years before the granted rights is up.
The Big 12 is going to have to move quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Very quickly to shore up their conference before the vultures come in and pick them apart. Like, that's the truth.
That's a great thing, too, to assess the timeline for all this.
Yeah, they really have to move quickly. Because if Texas and Oklahoma, if this is happening possibly next week, like if those wheels are turning like that, the ACC is going to make a phone call to West Virginia. That's going to happen really quickly. And you need to shore up your support in conference and get everybody on the same page about inviting, you know, probably four teams to come fill the void left by Texas and Oklahoma immediately.
Yeah. And then also, too, I think an angle that we haven't discussed at all, which is what you're starting to see in Texas, is the legislators getting involved. Yeah. You have a bunch of Baylor grads, Texas Tech, like, well, wait a minute. There was already a legislator in Texas that said, you know, we need transparency. We can't have the state school doing this without nobody knowing, blah, 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 blah. We're going to do, you know, everything in our power. We need to stop this and support the Big 12. We're going to see
that.
There's
a lot of questions about how much say the legislatures have in this, though.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, like,
yeah.
There are. There's a lot of questions. Like,
Texas governor is a UT grad.
When A&M left, there wasn't anything they could really do about it. And I have a feeling they're going to have a hard time taking a hard line stance against Texas when they let A&M walk, you know, and like it's, there were bigger questions with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. There was the thought when that first came up, when the Pac-12, Pac-16 conversations came up, that Oklahoma's state legislature wouldn't let Oklahoma walk without Oklahoma State. It was a package deal, but some of that has been debunked in recent years. I just don't know how much these legislatures can really do to stand in the way right now. Obviously, things can happen.
Yeah.
Executive orders can be signed. Laws can be changed if enough people get on board with it. But that would seem to be, I don't know. It's just right now, from what I've read, because you do some power reading after this stuff comes out. You know what I mean? And everybody's an expert within 10 minutes, right? It seems to me that there's no real barriers on the and you're like, that? Yeah, catch that one. That was
cool. Yes.
Shaggy.
No, he's zoned out. Soinks!
You missed a real puberty moment there.
I heard it.
But yeah, like there's real questions as to how much that's really going to factor in here.
And then, too, with the Pac-12, I mean, I think we're on the same page with Oklahoma State is very attractive for your conference. Would they be more apt to join the Pac-12 or the ACC? I mean, there's going to be a couple other schools, I think, that could be in the crosshairs than being very attractive. I mean, if the Big Ten is not an option – again, I wouldn't even know about anything what Oklahoma State would want to do, but do you think Oklahoma State would be more attracted or more interested in a move to the ACC than they would be the Pac-12?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Same thing with TCU,
right now,
Baylor.
Right now, money's pretty comparable. The question is, would the Pac-12 be interested in them? I mean, I don't know. Like with them without Oklahoma.
Because their rights are up soon as well, so they're going to have to, you know, they would have to make some moves. That's why I think this move happens to the SEC, I think that the vultures will pick apart the conference because those other conferences have to make moves, too, if they want a better TV deal than what they have right now.
And by the way, like the momentum in the SEC and elsewhere was already towards a 9-game schedule. You don't make this move without expanding the
oh you have
the conference.
To now,
it's going to either 9 games and possibly down the road 10. You don't know, like that, like when you have that type of inventory and those type of teams,
you have to,
you take advantage of it. So nine games is definitely happening regardless of how upset Mark Stoops is about it. I just had somebody tweet at me about definitely going to a 9-game schedule. U of L game might be in trouble. I don't think so.
No,
I mean, they're gonna have to drop you know, Western Carolina or whatever.
The New Mexico State,
yeah
Charleston Southern, we'll see you.
They're probably stuck with us.
Who has the best dad bod, Skull or Strebel? Just into the text line.
Strebel's looking good these days, man. I don't know. I don't know, man. My body's weird shaped after all the chaos.
What fruit would you equate it to?
I don't know if there is. It's a very weird
fruit.
Yeah, what fruit? Like a pear?
Upside down mango. I don't know. It's really weird.
Good. All right. Yeah. So just if you've never seen Dave before, picture a gentleman with a goatee, glasses, a backwards hat, and an upside down mango.
Well, mangoes kind of look the same upside down and right side up. So yeah. I don't know, that was kind of a weird statement.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I was trying to envision it. I was like going upside down myself. Like what?
Huh? No, seriously. Like one thing that happened when I took my long nap. Is that whatever semblance of an ass I had before is completely gone. Like, it just falls off the face of the earth back there. Like, there's nothing there. And I'm
is that
somebody,
good or bad, in your opinion?
It's bad. Like, shorts don't stay on me. Like, it's not good.
And it's got a belt.
I have a belt.
Get another belt, then.
It doesn't look right when I still have, like, a belly.
Get a tighter belt.
No, it does. It looks...
Get a butt
belt. I look
belt.
Misshapen. I look weird. Is what I'm trying to say. I look kind of
funky. No, Dave, you're beautiful. You're like one of the models.
My calves came back, but my thighs didn't come back as strong as my calves, so I have these beautiful calves.
So you're saying you're no longer dummy thick.
Man, I'm not as thick with a double, like the triple C, as I used to be. I'll put it that way.
So on a scale of like...
I got no butt.
On
I have
a scale
no
of like one to Lizzo,
weird,
where are you at?
Oh, man. I'm a one. It's terrible. Like my muscles are coming back, you know, and like, but I really, I'm somebody who came out of high school squatting 600 pounds, you know.
Wait,
like I had a
really,
wow. Oh yeah,
damn,
that's the one thing I could do. Like I was never much of a, like my bench press and everything, whatever. But I could bench. I had like the highest bench on the team in high school when I was a freshman. You know,
there you go.
My freshman year. Like that's the one thing I could always do naturally. So I had giant thighs, giant calves, and a nice butt. Yeah, you know, now the butt's gone. It's all gone. And the thighs aren't as beautiful as they used to be. Calves are still glorious.
Good.
They're still glorious.
Yeah.
By the way, you missed me just booking around the bases last night. Both of you did.
I've seen you book around the bases before. You did a cartwheel midair. It was awesome.
This time I scored.
Did you bleed after the game?
No.
You bleed a
like
lot.
This is like the third or fourth game in a row that I have not
good
drawn
for
blood.
You.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
No, I'm sure next week I'll break my femur.
Yeah, no, I don't know how we're gonna get you off. I guess I'll lift you off, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, are you gonna mark that?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. We're off the rails,
buddy.
We're off the rails.
Did you get that? All right.
God, two more shows and I get to take a vacation. This is beautiful.
Where are you going?
The shore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you gonna fist pump?
It's the first time since I've been. God, I haven't been to the shore since I was probably 18, so I get to drink when I'm down the shore and see all the crazed Italian individuals.
Are you going to go to Jersey? Are you going to go to Atlantic City?
Ocean City. Not
You're not going to go up to Atlantic City?
No, nah, I don't like Atlantic City.
Okay.
I've been to Atlantic City before. I do not care for it.
Tell Snooki I said what's up.
That's the North Jersey Shore. There's a difference.
Okay.
Hey, that New York trash goes to you know,
oh, wow,
the North Jersey Shore. I'm sorry. I'm just right. It's a point of contention for you. Wrap
don't
a ball
you
in
slam the townies. That's who I grew up around.
I'm sorry. Hoboken, right? All right.
Now, put a
ball in the thing.
All the townies up there around West Point, in Poughkeepsie and Cornwall and all
and
that.
And Yonkers.
Yeah, man. They all went to high school with my sisters.
Nice.
Counties.
Well, that'll do it for us today. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us, interacting with us. We certainly appreciate it.
We're doing it all again tomorrow.
Yes. So,
and I'll come and ruin your day for 5 hours in the morning.
Attaboy.
Buckle up, kids.
There we go. All right, for Dave Skull, I'm Ethan Moore, and The Process. Thank you guys so much for listening to us this afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll do it again.
Tomorrow, buddy.
3 o'clock, right here.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.